Go ahead, Oliver. You probably drag the mic down a little bit, so there you go.
My name is Oliver Holm. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I spent about a year and a half off and on in the Project Advisory Committee and worked with the consultants and borough staff at the time, and you know, we came to some compromise. I think what we came out of that wasn't too bad. I think, in my personal opinion, it was more restrictive than necessary for this community. But it seems like with the current Title 17 is more restrictive and in a lot of respects, I think, isn't appropriate for this community. In a lot of, you know, it's got some very nitpicky things in it, and yet some other things are just completely not in there that should be. And for instance, gardening. People have been gardening here forever. And my daughter's garden, my wife gardens. Unless you have an RR1 or RR2 lot, if you have an R1, R2, or R3 lot, according to the draft code, you're not allowed to garden because it's not a permitted or conditional activity. It's not there. It's in the other lots, it can fit under the agricultural, but not an R1, R2, or R3. And I think if people realized that, you'd have a whole bunch more people in here. But it's just absurd to not have that a permitted activity in all lots in Kodiak. My wife and I built a house out in the Tules out on Whale Island. We had very little money and lots of time and energy, and the house still stands 40 years later, and we raised a family in there before we moved to town. Substandards in some ways, but it's still standing. If we just get the damn bats out of the roof, it'd be pretty good shape. But all the fees and stuff, well, it's one thing we didn't talk about in the Project Advisory Committee really was all the fees. And it looks to me that upper layers of the borough staff, they're figuring that this is a way to generate money for the borough. It's easier than raising taxes. And it just seems absurd that you'd have to pay that much in fees to the borough for doing things. Paying for engineers, maybe in certain circumstances, that would be appropriate. But the borough should be hiring people that are competent enough to approve things without having to charge a whole bunch of fees. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Oliver.
Hi, I'm Alexandra Turner. I've wanted to come up all night, but didn't want to reiterate exactly what everyone was saying, and I went back to the basics. And growing up, my dad told me the story every night, if he didn't fall asleep, of the three little pigs. And it taught me that I would grow up to have a house and make a life of my own. And now I tell my children the story of the three little pigs. But that story is going to change because the first little pig is going to go to the man and say, "Please, sir, may I have some sticks to buy my house?" And the man's going to say, "No, go to the borough and pay him all the money you have. And then what you have left, come back and buy the sticks." And that little pig's gonna say, "But I don't have that." And so he's gonna run to the burrow and he's gonna get eaten up by the big bad wolf. And Agenda 21, this is the big bad wolf. And I say, let's throw it in the pot of water and stick the lid on it now.
Thank you, Alexandra. Go ahead, Lenny.
Hello, my name is Lenny Robertson. I just wanted to add my voice to the record here. This thing, I think what's going on, a lot of the animosity and everything you're feeling toward this draft of this new code and everything is just people are sick and tired of government in their face as of late on both the national, federal, and state level. You know, we've been hammered for the last 10 years or so with just a lot of regulation, and I think a lot of that frustration is coming toward you guys. I read parts of, you know, I didn't sit down and read the whole thing, but I read a lot of it, and I think, you know, if you're gonna stick with it and try and push this thing that the people have made clear they don't want, the first thing that, you know, you are asking for options is to get it back, set it down in front of you, and look at the language that's used in it. Don't try and to sort it all out And it's just, look at the language in it. It makes us all criminals. I mean, it's not a very, I've heard the term militaristic used and stuff, and it borders that. So whoever did the actual drafting and writing of it, such as, if it ain't in here and this, you know, it's not listed, it's illegal. Well, that means I'm a criminal. That's a polite, even not so polite way of calling most of us criminal, because I read a lot about it. What I do for a living is bang apart old salty outboards and put them back together for folks. And I get people all the time telling me, you know, that how much they appreciate having somebody they can bring there. But when I read this code, I didn't see it. So basically everything I do is illegal. Well, I bought my property when I retired from the Coast Guard, R2, so that I could have a home-based business. My business is essentially a couple of roll-around tool carts and a little bitty aluminum outboard tank that I had another small business here in town build. And the way I understand it, reading the language in that code, it would automatically, instantly make me a criminal. And I just think, when I see what the government is doing on a federal level to stifle young people, entrepreneurs, they used to call it risk-taking. But what I read in that thing is, it's no longer acceptable to call it risk-taking. We're going to call you a criminal. So the first thing you need to do is look at the language, how you've got it written, and approach it in a way that is pro-resident, pro-community, not negative resident, negative community, because that's what you've got the way I've been reading it. And then the other thing, as I was looking through it, there was a lot of what's, where's, when's, a lot of how's, what's, where's, when's. There wasn't much why in there. Why does this have to be illegal? Why does that have to be illegal? There wasn't real good explanations for why I can have two ducks and one rooster and one chicken. I mean, put it in there, you know, give us a why. You know, don't just say, well, it's not there, so if you have three chickens, that's illegal. There wasn't much why in your document, so put some why to it. If like I said, if you're going to go forward with this thing, put a lot of whys in there. Look at the general language overall and how it's written, and realize that these are your neighbors, your friends, your community, and the people that you live with. And like one person said, you're going to bump into these people that you know around town, and it's their children. It's their children's children, and it's their future. Don't we have enough regulations and everything in our lives, even under the old system, that's stifling young people in this town? As it was stated, a house, I can't imagine being a young person trying to operate a small business or be a risk taker in this community. The way it's laid out with property, taxes, and then a government that's broken into two parts, I think a good way of summing it up is, we have the trooper building right there, and you can stand on top of the Kodiak police and throw a rock and hit it. Do we really need that double set of law enforcement that close together, that are two complete separate entities? I think that the people here need to really take this whole thing that we've seen unfold, and we should readdress getting a united government back on the table and see about making this one government and getting away from this city borough government. And I really think we need to take this energy and move forward with that.
Thank you, Annie. All right.
Please feel free to come forward. Yasha?
Yasha Zabitnov, 1731 Mission. I was at the last meeting, 69 comments. Alan thanked me at the end for doing two comments. There was actually 68 people, so I was up there twice. So I waited tonight till most everybody had gotten done. You heard all my opinions there, and you've heard everybody tonight. I went to the Wednesday work session, and as Dennis mentioned, that I was the instigator that maybe offended a few of the people in that room that night, and for that I apologize, but It need to be said. You people need to be involved. We all need to be involved. And it's not the Agenda 21. It's not all that. We all need to be involved all the time. No one goes to the assembly meetings unless they have something on there to talk about. Unless you're affected, you don't go. Well, we're all affected. We're always affected. This room's already almost cleaned out by half just after the 10-minute break because tight people got tired. They had to go home. They had to take care of their kids. They had to go feed their families or their dogs or whatever they had. And they don't want to stay here till 11 o'clock tonight. I mean, you guys are volunteering. I know you're up here spending the time. I've thanked you before. At that work session, I gave you my number again, and no one called me in 2 weeks. Not one of you called me. I offered my help. No one's called. So I'm offering again. You guys all have my number. I ran for the assembly. It's in the borough record. Everybody in this room can find my number. Call me up. I'll come up and help again. And these people need to stay involved. I got, I don't know, it must be about 10 friends in here, and not one of them wants to get up and talk tonight because they don't feel comfortable in public speaking. I'm fortunate enough that I don't care what you guys think about me behind me, so I just get up here and say what I want. But we all need to say what we want, and if you don't say it, write it down and email it in. Say what you want. Tell them that you don't want the code. I think the two members on the community tonight that said no heard it loud and clear from two other people that we're here, we're telling you no. Do a revote and listen to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Yasha. Go ahead, Mr. Boucher.
My name's Tom Boyer. I've been in Code Action since 1957. I've been a property owner for over 40 years. And the reason why I bought property is because I wanted a piece of the last frontier, not a piece of a planned community. And I wanted to get out from under the thumb of the landlord. And this thing seems to take away a lot of freedom of the property owners. So it turns out like you guys are now the property owners or the landlord, which means it's time to pack up and move to back to Wasilla with the other guy. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else, please feel free. Neil, you have another comment you want to make? Go ahead. Let's let Mr. Stevens speak first, and then Neil, I'll let you.
My name is Mel Stevens. I've urged you in the past to table these things, postpone them indefinitely, do whatever procedure you find best to simply drop this and not pick it up again in the future, right? The process here was highly flawed, and I do not think you can use the process to date as a foundation upon which to build, okay? When you do things like revising three separate titles of the code relating to real property, and in revising them, substitute new language which is perhaps 50% more voluminous than in the past, you are automatically increasing the cost of developing property. There's no way that can't be the case, because you are putting in new requirements, new restrictions on property. What Kodiak needs is for the government to get out of the way to reduce, if anything, all of the restrictions and requirements on developing property, and hopefully get the economy turned around and get people moving into Kodiak instead of moving out of Kodiak. Now, if you want to do something after setting aside these code revisions, right, or recommending to the assembly that they be set aside, if you want to do something, then I would urge you to think about having several different sessions in which you ask the community development staff to bring forward, right, summaries of actual cases they have experienced over the last 10 or 20 years, which ended up with a result that they considered unfortunate, right? You know, a one-paragraph summary of the case, and then with the case file there, and then decide for yourself whether the code language was the problem with that particular case, and whether the problem in that particular case, even if it was related to the code language, was so great that you can't simply amend the existing code language, you have to completely revise the entire title that it was related to. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mel. Neil?
Somebody asked me to give that to you. They've took a bunch of signatures. It looks like there's a couple hundred. I let something go last time that I'm not going to let go this time. In the last meeting where we all met, there wasn't this many, and somebody up here stood up and defied everybody, telling everybody that's sitting here, we don't care. They voted earlier. Three of them said, we hear you. The other two said, I don't care what you said. I've got a better idea. There's, what, a couple hundred people right there that already signed up said, can you hear me now? So many of these people here, well, let's put it from the perspective of the little lady that came from Boise, go Boise. When I first retired and left here a long time ago, I went down there and lived in that area. I went into one of those communities, retirement, older people, nice and quiet, and the first thing had happened to me the second week after I was there is the community development came up to me from the area and they said, we like to mow the lawn this particular direction. We only water on Wednesdays and Sundays. Those flowers you put in there, they're too pretty. We want a more subdued look. And I'm not kidding people, I was there, that's why I'm back here. I'm tired of being owned. This crap that's going on up here, pay attention to what these people are doing. Who's looking at you? Who's paying attention to you? There's three up there that hear everything we say and they're smiling. The last meeting, one of those people was texting somebody outside. Heads always down, better than us. We are Kodiak. Who are they? Who are they representing? They're not representing us because we said so. Some people have talked about leaving Kodiak. I did that once. People thought that I was going to leave again because of things that I wrote in the newspaper. I'm not leaving. I'm at every meeting. I'm here forever. I will die here. Scott and I went through some statistics here earlier, actually last week. Got some stuff from Sheila up here. Since 1990, 2,000 people have left Kodiak. Yes, we're declining. We're declining. And like that was what's already been said, we need young people to continue to buy. I'm not going to buy again. As long as things are like this, I'm not ever going to buy again because I'm not going to support the spending habits of the people here in this community. Sorry, but I'm not going to help them destroy this community. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. We at this time, I'll ask you to hang on a minute. We got two. One call that we're going to go ahead and take here now. One call at a time, and we'll take it.
What do you do?
Go ahead. This is Planning Zoning Special Meeting. Can you hear me?
Is that me?
Yes, you're live on the air here. Go ahead and state your name for the record, please.
My name is Rebecca Dawn.
Thank you, Rebecca.
And I'm calling you from Pleasant Harbor, Cape Island, Alaska. And I have lived and worked in the Kodiak region for over 25 years. And I'm happy to say those 25 years, I have worked for Kodiak Area Native Association. And I'm really sorry to hear that there has not been more input from the six outlying villages on Kodiak Island regarding these new zoning regulations, which I assume are tabled at the present time. But I just want to speak on behalf of those six villages that I have been in, worked in, lived in the last 25 years. They pay probably some of the highest prices for fuel, gas, propane, and groceries than anyone else on the island. Many of them live a subsistence lifestyle and try very hard to protect our culture, heritage, and traditions of the Alaska Native people. And some of these rules and regulations were extremely, put an extreme hardship on them financially. To have those kinds of demands financially would be very hard. And I would just hope and pray that in the future, when you go to table these new zoning regulations and create something that's a more viable alternative for Kodiak, that you would bring to the table representatives from those villages that can also speak for those outlying areas in the Kodiak Island Borough.
Anything else, Rebecca?
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to talk. I apologize for not being there. I do have kids that own homes, and I owned a home a long time in Minoshka and continue to own land in the borough. And thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity, and I hope that we reach a viable alternative for everybody.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
We got one more call. Oh, okay. Ma'am, go ahead, please. Yeah.
To my Kwayana, my name is Sophie Fritz. My parents were Edna and Walter Hansen. My grandparents were Jim and Sophie Anderson. My great-grandparents were Berger and Sarah Hansen from Port Lyons. I'm grateful to be here. I'm sad that I'm not seeing more of my people represented, but I'm grateful that I can listen. A couple of the things that I was thinking about while I've been sitting here, we usually sit in the back, and I feel very blessed that we sat up front because I could see all your faces, and I know a lot of you. I know Kathy very, very well. She's a dear friend of mine, and I'm grateful to know her. And I know you don't know me, but I remember you. I seen you at the airport.
Okay.
And you were talking about your dog, and I liked you then, because you like dogs and you care about your dog, and I like that. I know you from church. I spoke Psalm 23 at JJ's mom's funeral, and we had a connection. I seen your eyes, and I knew that we had a connection, and I know him. My son-in-law is a sergeant under you, Gage, and I talked to you about brownies over there, ma'am, and Tanya made the brownies, and I'm sure you know her. She's a dear heart, and I guess what I'm trying to say is we're all on the same page. We're all from here. We're neighbors. We're going to see each other at the store, and we're going to see each other all over. And I know that maybe you guys see a bigger something better for us, and maybe as your visions can grow and continue to grow, then maybe we'll catch that same wave. But until then, we are still the people that you need to listen to. And what we're asking for needs to be heard. And I carry a title right now, and I've found that to be a very big thorn in my side, because a lot of times people know my title and they forget to look at me. And I do my very best to just like jump down there, and I'll be the first one to get down in the dirt and play with the kids, and I'll pet the dogs, and I'll love the babies, and I love what you guys are doing, and I believe in it. I believe in good things for this island. This is my island. My parents are buried here, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, on back to about 10,000 years. I'm from here. I'm not leaving here. We're rural. We'll never be anything but rural. We cannot be anything but rural. When I spoke at a rural meeting where they were trying to say we would be urban because somebody thought that we should be urban, I said, you know what? When everyone else leaves, we're still going to be here. We're still going to be fishing. We're going to be eating. We're going to be digging ojiducs off the beach. We're not going anywhere. We fish, and we have fishnet in our line. I live on a road where they put their line out, and you know what? We drive by. Hi, fishermen, we love you. We love our fishermen, we love our neighbors. My neighbor's chickens come in my yard, and they poop, and she had turkeys, and they poop big. And I said, Lord, help us. We love our neighbors, and you know what? It worked out. We didn't call on them. They don't call on us for what we do. We're neighbors, and we love each other, and that's how we're going to have a solution, when we have a heart for each person and what they have to say and what they feel. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. You got one more call? Okay. We evidently lost the other caller, so I'd ask for them to please call back. And once again, the number for call-ins is 486-3181. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, my name is William Kincaid, born and raised out of Palmer, Alaska. I've been here since 09 on my own. And like the gentleman sitting next to Scott that just spoke, you know, the community is dying for the youth. A lot of my friends, they all moved to Seattle. They all moved to Astoria, Oregon. It's cheap there, you know, and they're still fishing there. And they don't want to live here because it's so expensive. And, I'm fortunate enough to make the money where, you know, I'm gearing myself to find property here. But like my friend Marco spoke about, you know, buying property young, there's so many hoops and, you know, T's that you gotta double cross before you actually got that land to yourself. And it's so discouraging, you know, not be able to make a good sum of money and turn that around and make a home for yourself. You know, and I see all my 23, 20-year-old friends going to Seattle, Washington, because they can get a house there, you know, for 50, 60 grand. Where here, you know, you got to put down $200,000. You know, it is a bummer deal. And I'd like to see it, you know, turn around for the youth. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Go ahead.
Good evening. First, I'd like to say thank you for your service. And I've only got 2 points.
And your point, your name, please. Not your point.
Donna Creek.
Donna, thank you.
And I've been here since the early 80s. So I've been here a long time. I've seen lots of changes, and good and bad. Seems more bad lately. However, that's not my point. My point was, you know, this is the first time I attended this meeting. And what I saw when I first came in here, I was a little surprised at this whole little dynamic that went on initially. And I thought it was really kind of sad, and I felt embarrassed for the professionalism that I expected. My other point is, I don't know if you've considered with the borough code that you're revising. I've read some of it, and it's a lot of lawyerly geese. And so it's very vague and open to a very large general interpretation. And when you have that type of verbiage and wording, what you're going to end up with is a lot of lawsuits. And that's going to cost all of us time, energy, and probably not the kumbaya that we're all searching for. And that's really all I have to say, because that's what I've checked out as far as what's happening with this whole ordeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. My name's Julie Cavanaugh, and I spoke earlier, but I let something go by, and I had a person speak to me about it at the break. And so the question that we would like to pose is, with all of this code revision and the if it was to go forward on the borough assembly, we would really like to know, prior to any type of acceptance of any portion of it, what the cost would be to enforce the new code, and what the projection is for new hires or anything like that. I think that I personally believe that it would be quite a significant change in cost to the taxpayer.
Thank you, Julie. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Wilton Nelson, property owner here. I've lived here my whole life. Here's a concept. You slack the codes from what they already are, which is pretty strict, but then I'll build an addition on my house. It'll increase my property value. You can tax it at a higher rate. rather than employing somebody to come and find me a little here, a little there, for me not submitting to the code. You know, I mean, I don't know where you guys went to economics school, but it was probably the same one Obama went to, because it sucks. If you give people opportunity to grow, they'll grow, and we'll put back into the community, and we'll all come out in the end successful. So.
Thank you. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Terry Storch, and a lot of people know me as Teresa. Wanted to thank the borough for a sacrifice of its time and all the things that it does. And I just wanted to say, when I was a set netter at Raspberry Island, Bryce Gordon came out. I think it was sometime in the 80s. Some of you might remember him. He's gone now. He died. And his wife, Ruth, was my crewman. And he saw that at my set night site that I didn't have an adequate cabinet for preparing food and for the sink and stuff. And so he built me one. And he said, "Don't tell the borough that I did this." And some of you may not know, but he was the, I believe he was the building assessor, something to that effect for the borough.
Building inspector.
Yeah. So I wish he was still alive and that he was here. And I'm also a mobile home owner now, and I'm retired due to some disabilities on Social Security. And I did get an Exxon oil spill Valdez fisherman's lawsuit settlement. So I wanted to use some of that money to have my mobile home just better prepared for the winter. And I shopped around, tried to find some entrepreneurs that could do that. And every one of them would get intimidated the minute I said building code. They were out the door. You know, I didn't hear from them anymore. So I thought, oh, well, I'm, you know, I was an honor student in high school and have a college degree. I can go in there and write my own building plans. And I went in there to the borough office and started talking about building plan, what that entails, and I got intimidated too, and I was gone. And it's very hard because I do need some work done on my mobile home, and I just feel like it's kind of a stalemate now. I think that's pretty common in Kodiak. I really feel that if this new code goes through, disabled people who are seniors, who are poor, who live in mobile homes, you know, they're going to be the first to be evicted out of their places because some of the landlords do not at all care for having people get one fine after another for, you know, building materials in their yards and things of that nature. And I have tried very hard to just stay on the island by doing things like having a wood cook stove installed and cutting off at the breaker my hot water heater and my clothes dryer, because my wood cook stove can handle all of that. And it is difficult. There are days when I'm really tired, and I really feel, though, that God wants me here, and I am not a very good spokesperson for him, but I really would like to be able to stay. And I feel if the new code goes through, I will not be able to. And I don't really know where I'll go. And I think there's a lot of other people in that boat. I think if this new code goes through, you'd better plan on having Brother Francis shelter expanded by about 3 or 4 times, because there's going to be a whole bunch of new homeless people. And another thing that I was thinking was a story of a guy that lived thousands of years ago. His name was Gideon. And when an oppressive government was in his country that was stealing his grain, he just went and started grinding his grain in a wine press. Well, you're supposed to squash grapes in a wine press, not grind grain in it. But I think that same principle is happening in Kodiak, that people are finding ways to get around these what they consider oppressive rules. And so Gideon didn't get censure from God, by the way. In fact, the oppressive government, they were out the door eventually, and Gideon was kind of like the president of his nation after that. So I wanted to quote Thomas Jefferson here too. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. We have a caller. This is the Planning and Zoning Special Meeting. Are you still there?
I'm not sure I understood what she had to say.
No matter.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, you're on the air. This is the Planning and Zoning Special Meeting, and if you'll state your name for the record, please.
Thank you. My name is Paula Ensign, and I've been a resident in Kodiak for 35 years. I have enjoyed the freedoms that Kodiak has given us, and I've raised 3 children here. I guess the takeaway from this is that I want to say is I've been listening to this meeting since it started. I wasn't able to attend. And I have not heard one positive comment about this code, okay? Not one. I have children here that, I have a son, a daughter, and a son-in-law that are trying to raise a family here. They're going to have to build onto their home. And there's no way on earth that they could possibly pay the fees that the borough wants for them to add on to the home that they currently have. Okay? All right. End of story. So all I'm getting at is that there's not been one positive comment for this code, and I just want to say, and I do want to thank the people that are serving on this committee, because I'm not up there, obviously, but this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And they need to listen to what the people are telling them. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Paula. Any other comments? Please feel free to come forward. On there. Sure.
I'm Bobby Ivanoff. And I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the citizens talk to our citizens sitting there in front of us that are representing our voices. I've been taking notes and also reading other material, and I got a laugh out of this one. It's concerning privately owned property. The Kodiak Island Borough Community Development Department will interpret, determine, resolve to their satisfaction, deem necessary, deem appropriate, may allow, approve, prohibit, compel, require, specify, grant, authorize, rule with an opinion or view, charge additional fees, and designate by line number. And then I look at all the line numbers that it's up to the discretion to interpret and all these things. And one of them is the department may require other information to demonstrate compliance with this title, talking about your property, such as traffic studies, environmental impact assessments, fiscal impact studies, groundwater analysis, wetland determination, geological soil assessments, and utility studies. Really? You're going to do all that? Who's paying for that to get a piece of paper? And it's going to be approved if the borough deems it's interpreting it with all these
fiscal impact studies, I mean, that blew me away. But that being said, it's a this code, new code is coming from the lower 48, and a consultant who doesn't live here, who hasn't planted his feet and grown vegetables or fixed his fishnet in the driveway or the road, or put a family through school or fed them at the cost of our food. This is making single-family homes unaffordable, and this is planned deliberately by this UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. 1993, President Clinton formed the President's Council on Sustainable Development. He gave a multi-million dollar grant to the American Planning Association to write Growing Smart, a legislative guidebook to bring UN Agenda 21 to the United States called Smart Growth. The result, multi-study story condos and apartments over small retail with little parking crammed in the town center. The reason for this type of construction is that, as UN Secretary General says, the affluence of Americans is a threat to the planet. So single family homes are a threat, and that's what's going on here with this new code enforcement. It's making single family homes and property just astronomical to not only those who have property. I have a building, a two-story. When I bought it, it was $19,000 assessed value by the borough. Years later, less than 10 years, they did this assessment, and they're going all over the city. And they came back and they said the same building, I put a paint on it, was now worth $90,000. So it's just astronomical in expectations of this code that the borough's even considering. And like everyone has said, no one of us tonight or any of these meetings are wanting this. And as you represent our voices, this is what we want you to listen to the citizens. Scrap the code, put it in the burn pile, and let's take out the old code, shake off the dust, and have a go of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Todd?
Yeah, I got cut short on my first. This is Todd Heiner on my first thing that I was reading there. I wanted to finish the last five quotes of our forefathers. The care of human life and happiness, and not their destruction, is the first and only object of good government. That was Thomas Jefferson. It is to be regretted that the rich and powerful too often bend the acts of government to their own selfish purposes. Andrew Jackson. By the way, he's on the $20 bill. The next one, corruption is the enemy of development and the good of governance. It must be got rid of. Both the government and the people at large must come together to achieve this national objective. The next one. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. John Adams. The last one. The people are the government, administrating it by their agents. They are the government, the sovereign power. Andrew Jackson.
Thank you, Todd. Anyone else want to speak?
Yes, I'm Elijah Heiner. I live at 763 Lily Drive. I want to speak for the youth, and also that I want to show what I usually do to try to make myself a person that I look up to. And I look up to my brothers that are up there. I look up to my oldest one for the mistakes and the things that he's done. And then I look up to my other brothers, the one that has kids, and what he does. And what I'm trying to get to is that for us to succeed in this life, that we also have to look at the things that we didn't do right and the things that we did do right. And what I do is I look at my brothers and I look at the things that their follies and the things that also made them rise. So what I'm asking you guys to do is look at your forefathers and look at your grandfathers and your grandmothers and your dads and look at the things that for this country and for this town of what we did and how we made it so prosperous, and not to try and make something new, but to do trying to make it better for this country and for this town. And I also want to say that when I was looking through the your guys' agenda, and I was flipping through it, and I was just like, oh, then I'll stop right here. And when I flipped up into it, I was just amazed at what I found. And I'm a hands-on type of guy. I'm a grease monkey. And we own a shop that's pretty much the downstairs is a garage. And what it says on there is if you have anything over 800 cc's, you're not allowed to work on it unless if you have a permit. And a. So what that means that we would have to give it to Midtown or anything that would be over. And with me, I love things with power. And 800 cc's sometimes ain't enough for me. And I know that's the same with my brothers. But I want you guys to really look at the things that, what you guys looked up to as your fathers and your grandchildren. And I just ask that you can do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Aisha.